Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. 1 hour from now, Barry Trotz will join us right here ahead of the Predators and the trade deadline. By the way, I do have one follow-up that Adam Vingan sent me. This was from, I guess, a story from the guy who covers the Penguins for The Athletic after the Penguins fired their general manager. Quote, Hextall's most infamous trade was the extraordinary decision to acquire Mikhail Granlund, who is one of the NHL's worst values. Hextall gave up a second-round pick in this season's rich draft for Granlund. He even agreed to pay Granlund's full salary for two more seasons after this one, counting $5 million against the cap. Granlund responded by scoring one meaningless goal in 21 games. Two league sources of mine told me they literally laughed out loud when they heard about this trade, wondering what exactly they were thinking. Unbelievable. Okay, free agency is 1 week away in the National Football League. And I got a question for all these Titan fans out here, because I have seen a lot of pre-excuse making for the Tennessee Titans. Oh, we can't fill all of our holes in one offseason, Jared. What do you expect us to do? What are the expectations here for what the Titans are going to do next week in free agency with all that cap space you guys have been talking about? When the Titans decided to give up on the season, which was when they traded Kevin Byard to the Philadelphia Eagles ahead of the Falcons game, when the Titans unofficially gave up on the season, you guys started pumping how great this year would be. The fact that you might have a young quarterback to build around, all that cap space to spend in free agency. And now, as we're 1 week away from free agency, I feel like the narrative is starting to change a little bit. Now, I don't think Rand Carthon or Brian Callahan gave us any hints, or at least I hope they didn't give us any hints, that they aren't going to be spenders. They just said, well, we have to spend wisely, we have to be smart, we have to, and I just think that's a disclaimer. I think that's so an agent doesn't think that they'll sit down with them and say, you've got all the money, so we want all of it. But again, what my expectations are and what your expectations are may not be the same. And that's why I want us to get on the same page here. So what do you want out of the Titans? What do you think they should do 1 week from today? Do we expect that the Titans are going to go big, right? Christian Wilkins is probably the top unrestricted free agent on the market that isn't Kirk Cousins, because it does sound like Chris Jones is ultimately going to sign a deal in Kansas City. But he hasn't signed his deal in Kansas City yet, which means that he may get to free agency and maybe it is Chris Jones and Christian Wilkins. And again, that is big game hunting. Or is it going to be a bunch of guys that we don't even really know who they are? Like, maybe we've heard of them, but we don't really know who they are, and we'll just trust the Titans that they're signing the right guys. Because I've decided the way that I'm going to look at this is not exactly what the moves they make are, but it is what the moves that they make will produce. And that is a competitive football team in 2024. I don't know about you guys. I expect the Titans to be competing next year. And I know they were bad this past season. And I know the offensive line was atrocious. But you can't make the argument that the ball didn't bounce your way, or that you played in 7 one-score games last year, or that it's a good thing that you have all this cap space because John Robinson ruined it because he didn't have all that cap space, and then not ask your team to try to compete the next year, especially after the Houston Texans and the Jacksonville Jaguars just proved, no, you can go from worst to first in back-to-back seasons. So I don't know how they're supposed to go about doing this. I saw John McClain put out a tweet today in which he was like, Nick Caserio wasn't aggressive in free agency. They've built this thing from the ground up. And I saw that and I was like, guffaw. The Texans had the fifth highest payroll in the NFL last year. Where do you think Noah Brown and Dalton Schultz and Shaq Mason and George Fant and Robert Woods and Jimmy Ward and Denzel Perriman and Sheldon Rankins. And where do you think all those guys came from? Do you think the Stork delivered them to the Texans? No, they spent. And we laughed, and I thought it was crazy talk, too, when Jacksonville gave Christian Kirk a gazillion dollars and totally reset the wide receiver market. And remember, teams were going to be mad at Jacksonville for that. I'd say it worked out pretty well for them. So regardless of if the Titans think that they can scout the film better than anybody else and they can bring in these Scarbinis that we don't know anything about, like Coleman Shelton, the center from the Rams who just got cut last week, as opposed to Tyler Biadasz, who's a former Pro Bowl center, or Andre James, who's been a starter in the league for a while. If they think they can do that, so be it. But they better be competing, and they better be winning next year. And if they're not, I don't want to hear, well, Jared, we got so much cap space coming, because that's all you've talked about since October, is how much cap space you've had. And now you're telling me I can't use it? You know who did that? Indy. Every year, I remember every year it was, Indy's got $70 million in cap space. Every season, we had to be lectured about how much money Indianapolis had. And every year, Chris Ballard would say, well, we just felt like we weren't going to use the money the right way this year, so we just didn't. Nah, nah, nah. They just sat on it. And what's Indy got for that? Nothing, because they suck. So, I mean, if they're going to come to us next week and tell us to be happy with Tyler Boyd at wide receiver and Kenny Moore at corner and Cameron Shelton at center and who's one of these real crap bums at tackle? Jonah Williams at tackle. I mean, it's just the same thing they did last year. D'Andre Dillard. Same thing. And that's fine. Good luck to you. But if you do that and you don't win, you go. Period. And I think maybe that'll get them to understand that, hey, if you're not going to spend the money, somebody else will. Because if you don't spend it this year, you'll have it next year. And if you don't, and if you spend it this year, you'll still probably have some more next year. But what are the expectations around here? To me, the expectations are to go get players to go win. To go get players to go surround the quarterback with guys that he can depend on and guys who can actually make plays on the football field. The goal for me is to get people that come in here that don't just put up tackling stats like Aziz, but actually make differences in ball games. That's what I'm talking about. And if that's Christian Wilkins and you got to spend $100 million for him, so be it. But I don't want to be told for October, November, December, January, February, for 5 months, I don't want to be told, we've got the most cap space in the league, Jared, and then get nothing on Christmas. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And I did the corner board today, the free agent board at corner. There's one guy I like. One. The other guys, I got issues with. We'll do that next in your phone. Stillman and Company, 1025, 1063, The Game.
You got to be careful. I mean, there got to be players to spend the money on, right? You can't just spend it just to spend it. But when you look at free agency, there's a lot of different ways to acquire a player. One of them is free agency. Now, those are proven players. You're paying a premium. And it's expensive, right? But you're getting a proven player. You know what you're getting. It's kind of like I like to say, you know, there's two products that I love in my life, Apple and Breitling watches, right? So I'm willing to pay retail for those things. I know it's predictable. It's high performance. I know exactly what I'm getting. When you look at the draft, that's wholesale. There's a potential it's cheap, as well as you have the potential to hit big in that area. And then there's a part in free agency that a lot of people forget about, and that's cap casualties. I like to equate that if we can continue the theme here of products and things of that nature. Well, my wife loves Costco, and so do I. It's, you know, cap casualties is like going to Costco. You're going to get a really good product at a good value. And that's another area that you can play as you build the roster.
There you go. That was Chad Brinker on the Titans podcast saying, hey, I like Apple and Breitling watches, and I'll pay for those, and that's what free agency is. And then the other ones are cap casualties. You know, we haven't played that cut in a while. It does feel like a very condescending cut, right? Like telling us the different ways to acquire players. Like, no, we got it. We understand, Chad. So I've been going over the free agent board. We will have our official free agency plan on Friday. We do it every year. The Stillman and Company, it's the one day we pretend that the salary cap matters because we have to make the contracts fit the cap that Russell Wilson, $85 million in dead cap. You people still think that that thing's real? Come on now. They're giving Russell Wilson $39 million. $39 million. And he's not even going to play for him next year. So don't get me started on that. But I did start to go over corners today. And I did not do, Ian, I'm so happy, I didn't do any work on Jalen Johnson because I figured he was going to be franchised. And today,
yep, he got tagged.
He got tagged. So I got five options. I mean, these are legitimate starting corners. They're ranked by Pro Football Focus. Kendall Fuller, Chidobe Awuzie, Stephon Gilmore, Steven Nelson, and Kenny Moore. Ian, without having done any research on that, is there any one of those guys that you would pound the table for and say, I got to have them?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I felt the same way. I mean, I looked at Nelson. I know he's a starter. Gilmore, I mean, he's kind of old in the tooth, so I was
Kenny
cautious.
Moore does make some plays against the Titans.
Maybe. Awuzie, you know, he's started for a while. Fuller, he started for a while. When I went through the numbers, there's only one guy I'm really all that interested in that I'm zeroing in on, and that is Kendall Fuller of the Washington Commanders. Fuller played 15 games in 23 and 17 games in 22. What's that mean? He's reliable. So if you pay him, there's a pretty good chance that he'll play in those games. He was with the Commanders in 2020 to 2022 under Chris Harris as his defensive backs coach. He had two pick sixes in 2022, five interceptions in 22 and 23. He had a 92.1 coverage grade against Buffalo. And his worst coverage grade of the year last year was against Chicago. I'm guessing that that was some, I mean, that's got to be totally screwed up because of Justin Fields. Got good grades versus decent teams. He's a corner, not a slot corner. He only had 28 slot snaps last year. Only two penalties last year and 10 yards per reception against him. So when he gives up plays, he's not giving up the big plays. Chidobe Awuzie, meanwhile, played 15 games last year, but eight the year before. Has not had an interception in 2 years. His grading has been worse 3 years in a row. He's gotten worse since 2021, which was a decent season for him. He had a horrible grade against Buffalo, eight targets, five catches. He allowed 12.8 yards per catch and four penalties last year. 12.8 yards per catch isn't that bad. Gilmore, 13.1 yards per catch, six penalties. Again, two penalties for Kendall Fuller, six for Stephon Gilmore. He'll be 34 years old. And he did intercept the football, and he did play in 17 games last year and 16 games the year before that. So I would jump Gilmore ahead of Awuzie in terms of who I want. Steven Nelson played 11 games in 2023, 15 in 2022. That's not that great, but he did have four picks, which is good. He was with Denard Wilson in 2021 in Philadelphia, but how about this? Again, Fuller is 10 yards per reception. Nelson, 16 yards per catch. Not sure I love it. Now, his best game last year was against Lamar Jackson. So I'd probably put him ahead of Gilmore, but still behind Fuller. And then Kenny Moore in Indianapolis played 16 games last year, 12 the year before that. Three interceptions last year, not bad. Five penalties, not bad. The problem is 3,500 career slot snaps. He's a slot. I don't think I need a slot corner, do I? Plus, a 79% completion percentage. Now, I think some of that is because he's playing in the slot and because he plays for the Colts, who don't allow the big play. And that is shown by his 9.3 yards per reception. I guess that's a long-winded way of me going over the free agency board with you and saying, Kendall Fuller is the best guy on the market. And Kendall Fuller has played under your defensive backs coach. So it's going to cost you. Now, Pro Football Focus thinks that Kendall Fuller will come in at 3 years, $40 million with 20 guaranteed. That's a 13.3 average. Give him 15. 3 years at 15. So what would that be? 45. 3 years, 45 guaranteed to 2 years guaranteed at $30 million bucks. Get Kendall Fuller and be done with it. And this is a guy I would overpay for. When it comes to overpaying players in free agency, the only thing that matters is, do you have to have that guy? Like, if I have to have that guy, I have to overpay. That's why the Predators gave 4 years to Ryan O'Reilly, because they had to have that guy. If it's like slot receiver, and I've got Curtis Samuel, who's decent, and Tyler Boyd, who's decent, and Darnell Mooney, who's a slot. Like, I got guys there. I know that, okay, well, if I don't get Tyler Boyd, then I can get Curtis Samuel. And if I can't get Curtis Samuel, then I can get Darnell Mooney. That's different. This position, I am circling Kendall Fuller. And I am saying I would pay him on day one, even if it's an overpay. Even if there are 31 other teams, and there's no way to know about this because it would be collusion and it would be against the law, but I would not even think about it. I would make sure that Kendall Fuller is a Tennessee Titan. I am convinced of that. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I'm going to run these down quickly. One texter says, the game against Chicago, DJ Moore had 8 catches for 230, and I believe Fuller was primary coverage on him. I'd have to go back and look at it. Another texter asked about Quadre Diggs from the Seahawks. Safety is a position where, honestly, everybody who's expensive is getting cut. Kyle has been waiting patiently and is up next here on the program. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Jared. I got a good excuse for Amy for you. We have a bottom five, maybe even three roster right now. Our good players are free agents. We haven't been drafted well, so we don't have any good young players. I want to spend the money on a corner, top corner. Everything else is going to take $5-7 million deals. I see what they're saying. We need at least two safeties. Hooker and Molden are free agents next year. Two linebackers.
Well, you don't need them if they're free agents next year. You would need that next year.
But you have to have a plan ahead. You know what I mean? Draft you one. He's ready.
That's what free agency is. Like, that's the point. Is you don't need – it's safety. There's 100 safeties out there right now. There will be 100 safeties out there next year.
I want one at $5 million. I don't want one at 14. I don't want a middle linebacker at 8, 10. I want 5 – because we have 16 holes if you do the math.
So you want to go cheap.
Floyd used to say, if you got a bad line, you go heavy, you double up on the offensive line, you fix it, and the next year you double up and draft two or three guys in the secondary. We're so bad right now. That's the philosophy.
So I don't remember him saying that. I'm not going to say he didn't say that, Kyle. You may be right. I don't remember that. Thank you for your call. But this idea that the Titans are going to patch this team together back with a bunch of Azeez Al-Shaairs, I mean, you're going to get Azeez Al-Shaair results. Like, to me, I am going after 5 guys on day one of free agency that I need today. I'm getting my left tackle in the draft, and I'm going to get a receiver at 38. And I am just, I mean, I'm full speed ahead. But this idea of, oh, no, we need to just go ahead and get $5 million safeties, those guys that take $5 million contracts only take 1 year deals anyways. It's like Sean Murphy bunting last year. And that stuff you can worry about down the road. You want to sign Chris Moore. I'm talking about day one next week. Trevor will join us next. His reaction to the combine, his thoughts on free agency as we approach it. We'll do that next. Stoneman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Being a quarterback at the University of Michigan and playing quarterback with Coach Harbaugh usually will sharpen you up to any type of adversity. And we've been through it 100 times. Well, he doesn't make all the throws you want to see, or doesn't throw the ball 50 times a game, but he knows how to win games, and he has been through the limelight. He's won a national championship, and I thought he handled every question coming his way very polished. And when you're sitting there, you try to judge these kids. And this is a kid that, like, if I was in that locker room and he was my quarterback, I would gravitate to him from his leadership standpoint. I'd go want to play for this kid. I wouldn't be surprised if he went to 8. So if I want J.J. McCarthy, and that's what you're trying to do, is not only what you need, but trying to predict what other teams may potentially do. And the way he's been spiraling up, like you always say, ascending, you may have to go in the top 10 to get him.
A lot of people don't like J.J. McCarthy, but Rick Spielman right there, former NFL general manager now with CBS and SiriusXM, he's sitting there saying, hey, there are going to be a lot of people that like this kid. And if you want to get J.J. McCarthy, and if you want J.J. McCarthy to be your starting quarterback, you may have to get up to 8 where Atlanta is. And the only way to get in front is Tennessee. And in Dane Brugler's mock draft at The Athletic, that's exactly what he has. A trade at 7 where the Tennessee Titans trade with the Vikings and receive pick number 11, pick number 109, which is in the 4th round, and a 2025 second rounder for number 7 in the right for them to draft J.J. McCarthy. The problem is that Joe Alt goes off the board at 8, and Olu Fashanu goes off the board at 10, and the Titans are stuck at 11 drafting J.C. Latham, the tackle out of Alabama. That's not going to work. I have to figure out a way to be able to get my left tackle. But the more that McCarthy goes up the boards, the more I'd say there's a possibility that there could be a trade. But again, the Titans don't have a left tackle, and there is not a left tackle in free agency for the Titans to go get. So if somebody's going to trade for me, if they want J.J. McCarthy, as I've said earlier today, you're going to have to solve my left tackle problem for me. Now, at the combine, all those wide receivers ran so fast, and there will be a fast outside receiver for the Titans to be able to draft at 38, which I think probably at least alleviates some of the question marks that surround what they're going to do big picture of, oh, well, what if you pass on Malik Nabers or you pass on Roma Dunze? At least that in and of itself exists one way or another. So I look at that and I think, did J.J. McCarthy do enough to warrant a trade up? And if he did, where can the Titans trade up to make sure that they still get their left tackle? Because you're not getting that in free agency. Also, all those receivers ran fast. What about Keon Coleman and his 4.6 40 time? And then, did anybody show in this combine, and this is a Bill Callahan question as much as anything, did anybody show that they could move from right tackle to left tackle? Trevor Maddich joins us now in the program. Trevor, let's start with these, you know, proposed trades. And the idea of J.J. McCarthy being that popular that you'd have to jump Atlanta at 7 or at 8 to get to Tennessee at 7. I love the idea of picking up more picks. What I don't like is the fact that that could cost me my left tackle and Joe Alt, Olu Fashanu. What do you think of all the talk of J.J. McCarthy and perhaps trading with the Titans, where Denver, Minnesota, the Raiders, those teams that would need a quarterback sit?
You know, I don't like J.J. McCarthy in that role. You know, and the thing is, it's too risky to take him that high in the first round, in my opinion, and especially too risky to trade up for him. The reason is that he didn't have to carry a team. I mean, he had the benefit of a fantastic defense the entire time he was there at Michigan. He had one of the best offensive lines in all of college football, the best, for 2 out of 3 years there. They won the Joe Moore Award 2 out of 3. And this last year, Washington's offensive line won the Joe Moore Award for the best offensive line in college football. But you can make a good case that Michigan's was still better this year. They're a run-first offense. That means that you've got safeties down in the box to try to stop the run, which makes it far easier to read what the coverage is. When you take one guy out of coverage and put him in the box, it means that there are far fewer options for offensive coordinators defensive coordinators to put out there in terms of coverage nuances and variations. And then the other thing is, you know, at the combine, did he make up for any of this? So that stuff's unknown. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So it's unknown what he can really do if he really has to. At the combine, he did some good things, but he struggled with the out routes. Now, some of that might have been new receivers, and they were at a different depth than he expected. But other quarterbacks didn't. Michael Penix Jr. didn't. I mean, others threw really, really well. And so I would not, if I'm the Vikings or anybody else, be trading up to number 7 to take J.J. McCarthy.
So if they do, though, like, I understand that's your opinion, and I don't necessarily disagree with it, though I haven't studied McCarthy. If he is clearly the fourth quarterback and they go 1, 2, 3 off the board and Atlanta's at 8 and we know they need a quarterback because Desmond Ridder is not the answer there, at that point, I love the idea of trading out of 7, except that I have to get a left tackle. And Joe Alt and Olu Fashanu probably won't be available at 11, 12, or 13. So, with that being said, did any of these right tackles, you know, Dane Brugler's mock draft at The Athletic has the Titans drafting J.C. Latham, a right tackle. Did any of these right tackles at the combine show you something that makes you think that Bill Callahan can flip them to left tackle the way he did with Jedrick Wills or the way he did with Tyron Smith?
Well, the guys who worked out, not really. You talk about J.C. Latham. He was a right tackle and he played a little bit of right guard at Alabama as well. He's a massive dude, but he gets too far over his skis. In other words, he will overset speed rushers at right tackle. And the reason you do that is because you don't think you're fast enough to get into the right spot. And so that's a problem when you're at left tackle, when you'll have even more speed guys out there. And when you watch J.C. Latham do his agility drills for a guy that weighs, what, 340, whatever he was, this big guy, he moved well for that. But you've got to be a gazelle out there at left tackle because of the nature of the speed guys you're having to block in space, the guys you have to stay in front of. And he just looked a little labored to me doing those agility drills compared to what you'd need at left tackle. Another possibility is Talisi Fuanga, big old right tackle from Oregon State. Mm-hmm. I think he's got a chance to do it, but he's got short arms also. And so, you know, he's 33-inch arms. A lot of people think that's why Peter Skoronski can't play left tackle. So I'd worry a little bit about that as well. Amarius Mims, the right tackle out of Georgia that's got 8 starts. He is massive. He is fluid. He is athletic. But injuries and other, you know, future draft picks ahead of him meant that he has very little experience. And so you might take him over from right tackle to left tackle. And he probably will excel at some point, but he will need time to develop. I'd be very surprised if he can go in there year one and be your starting left tackle. Maybe year two. Is that what you want to risk? Now, you can put him over there at right tackle, and he'd be very, very good. The other guy people are talking about is Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma. Right tackle, tall guy, big, very fluid, but he plays too high. And so do you really want to put another guy out at left tackle that's going to have an edge rusher stab him with one long arm right in between the numbers and drive him back into the quarterback because he plays too high? You know, again, he may turn into a good left tackle. I don't know, but it's a big risk. To me, if you're going to take that risk, the guy I'd be targeting almost is Troy Faltanu out of Washington. He played left tackle for them last year. He was phenomenal. He's only 6'4", but his arms are 34.5 inches. He's got pretty long arms, and he was a fantastic pass protector for them at left tackle. A lot of people have him projected inside at guard, and he could play inside at guard. But at the same time, if you're going to trade out because somebody else wants that 7th spot, if you want a left tackle, and if Olu Fashanu is not available where you trade down to, Troy Faltanu just might be the guy you want. So what I'm saying is this. You mentioned Joe Alt. He's the best left tackle in the draft, maybe the best tackle, maybe the best offensive lineman in the draft. And then you've got Olu Fashanu out of Penn State, also a left tackle. Those two guys, in my opinion, are the best risks to start and excel on day one at left tackle. Anybody else is going to have issues with experience or playing too high or not having enough functional strength. So they'll need to take a couple of years in an NFL weight room to develop all these different things. You have to be willing, if your goal is left tackle, to take a much, much bigger risk if you trade out of that seventh spot.
Trevor, do you think that if you do take that risk, is it worth the, in this case, Dane Brugler had a second next year and a fourth in this year's draft. Is it worth that risk to move off of Alt or Fashanu to take one of those risks that you mentioned?
It's worth it if you're okay with not having a day one left tackle. In other words, a day one starter.
So then the answer is no, because the Titans need a left tackle and there is no left tackle in free agency.
In that case, you're staying where you are and you're taking Joe Alt as long as he's available. And if not, you're taking Fashanu. Because anybody else at left tackle is going to be a risk. Troy Fautanu is not graded high enough to take at seven. You wouldn't take him at seven. But the other two guys, you could take at seven.
Trevor Maddich is with us here on the program. Coming up next, the receivers, how they ran, and what does Trevor think about free agency with the Titans and all that cap space you guys talk about. We'll do that next. Trevor Maddich, presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters, and ESPN Bet Sportsbook, Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Stillman & Company, Trevor Maddich, is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters, and by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Trevor, those receivers ran so damn fast at the combine over the weekend. What did we make of it and what it means for the 38th pick? And I'll tell you this right now. I think some of these guys are going to fly off the board, but I still think some of these dudes that ran a, you know, Ladd McConkey 4.39, Xavier Worthy 4.21, Xavier Leggett 4.39, I think some of those guys may be there at 38. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I think they might be. I thought that was fantastic because of the fact that the Titans don't just need a receiver. They need a receiver that can take the top off the defense. They need speed at defense, and that is absolutely critical for them. So there were so many guys. I mean, there were nine guys that ran 4.4 or better, and a whole bunch of others that were 4.41, 4.43, guys that were still in a range where if they can actually play the position, they've got the speed to get it done. So I think they're going to have some really good choices there in the second round.
Trevor, if you had to pick between Xavier Leggett, Xavier Worthy, and Ladd McConkey for the Titans, who would you pick?
Well, if Worthy's there, we talked about him last week. I mean, Worthy is in that role of, the Miami Dolphins, Tyreek Hill. Mm-hmm. He's in the role of Tyreek Hill where the defense just has to stay back. They've got to double cover him. There's no way they can let him go. And it's not just because Worthy ran a 4.21, which is the fastest combine in the history of the combine. It's because it gets on the field. When you watch him on tape at Texas, I mean, he blows past defenders on deep routes. But then on the short and intermediate routes, when he catches the ball, if he's not tackled immediately and he takes off, I mean, he takes off. And his yards after the catch are just electrifying. And so that kind of a guy will open everything up for everybody else. Now, he's had a problem with drops, but he was better in 2023 than he was in 2022. So that is good. But I don't know that he'll be there, and that's the problem, because his 40 time will probably get him pushed up into the first round. We talk about Tyreek Hill. Well, before he was at Miami, he was winning Super Bowls with the Chiefs, and they just couldn't afford to pay him, so they went ahead and let him go. And they have struggled at receiver since. This last year, they won the Super Bowl in spite of a terrible overall wide receiver room, not because of it. And they're picking at number 32. I just can't see that guy at, you know, going beyond number 32 in the Chiefs if he's available. But there are a couple other guys that I think would be really good there. His teammate, Adonai Mitchell at Texas, is phenomenal as well. He ran in the 4.3s. He's much taller than Xavier Worthy. He's much bigger, and he's a fantastic deep threat as well. A guy that is being mocked to the Titans right now by several people is Ladd McConkey, wide receiver out of Georgia. He ran 4.39, and he clocked in at height at 6 feet, so he's not that tiny guy that we thought. He's the kind of a guy that has a phenomenal route runner. He uncovers at all three levels. There's two issues with him. One is that he's been banged up a lot at Georgia, so durability might be a question. And the other one is a couple of years ago in 22 at Georgia, he had trouble tracking the ball deep. So he could get deep, he could get open deep, but he didn't finish sometimes. At the combine, on one of his last reps, they threw him a deep ball. He had trouble tracking that. And so is that a trend with him, or is that something that is not necessarily who he is? That's one thing that the Titans would have to think about, because if Ladd McConkey were there, then he wouldn't necessarily be the huge deep threat guy, but he would be the fastest receiver on this team, I believe, and still be able to get down the field and make those things happen with the added advantage of being able to get open on any of the routes.
Trevor Maddux is our guest here on the program. So with free agency a week away, basically, I do wonder this, which is it as imperative as I think it is that the Titans come away from free agency with a starting center, a starting right tackle, a starting corner, and then other pieces like an inside linebacker that they don't have to necessarily get on day one, but center, right tackle, and corner, because they're going to go left tackle and receiver in the draft, are imperative on day one of free agency. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Yeah, I agree with that, Jared, because it's not a question of, you know, should they acquire players in these places. We know that they've got so many needs all over the roster, it's borderline ridiculous. The question is, where do they go to get them? If they want a starting left tackle, then they've really got to go to the draft. And if you want one of the best ones available that you can count on starting on day one, at least having it be the best risk possible that he'll start on day one, then you have to stay at number seven. And you've got to take probably Joe Alt there if he's available, or Fashanu from Penn State if Alt is not. You don't want to go to free agency for that. With corner, there's a bunch of good corners available in the draft. But from a receiver standpoint, I think just like the left tackle position, free agency isn't going to offer a whole lot of options, especially because Mike Evans of Tampa Bay re-signed. T. Higgins, I think, just got tagged by the Bengals. A whole bunch of really good receivers are just not available now in free agency. And so the draft is where they want to go. And I wouldn't go past their pick high in the second round to get that receiver. They will be able to get blazing speed with that second round pick if they stay there, but they need to make sure they pick the right guy. And I think they're better off going that direction and then adding a veteran receiver that maybe they can count on. I mean, Calvin Ridley, is he a guy you want to count on? You know, there's other guys out there, Hollywood Brown, okay, but are you really getting the kind of guy that's going to be a long-term Titan and be happy about it? So I think you can add a guy like that to the room for experience and depth. In the meantime, you're going to build through the draft at that position. And then when you go to the positions you mentioned, Jared, center and right guard, and then to a lesser extent, in my opinion, right tackle are important for them, but especially center. And there are some very good centers available in the draft that'll be there in the second round. But I think they're better off because of the pool of centers available in free agency going with free agents there. And I like, you and I have talked about Tyler Biadasz from the Cowboys a lot at center for the Titans. I really like him. He could be a steady guy in there for a number of years until they can draft a younger guy and get him developed. So, yes, left tackle and receiver are going to need to come from the draft because the free agent pool there is problematic. And the other positions will have to come from free agency because you've got some options there that aren't going to be available to the Titans in the draft because they don't have a third-round pick.
Trevor Maddux is presented by Houston Clinic Orthopedics when experience matters and by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Trevor, great stuff. We will talk next week.
Thanks, Jared.
Yep, Trevor Maddux, as always. And I've been telling you guys that, you know, I don't care who's available in the fourth round. That guy is not going to start right away. It's just not how this works. All right, the trade deadline is on Friday in the NHL. Predators general manager Barry Trotz just signed Tommy Novak to an extension. Could more extensions be coming? Plus the winning streak, plus the chemistry, plus the cap space. We'll get into that next. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.